Our text for this morning is the gospel lesson from Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. You may be seated. This is one of many agricultural parables that Jesus presents to the people and to the disciples. And I don't know if you know anything about gardening, but there are various ways to have a garden. When I was young, my mom used to plant a garden, and she would plant a garden in rows, sort of one crop per row, placing the seeds in the row and covering them up. And then when the seeds would sprout, she would pull certain ones out to keep the spacing right between the plants. I always felt kind of bad for the plants that were growing and had to be pulled out. I didn't really understand that. Many modern farmers use genetically modified seed, which, as I understand, is quite expensive, so they're very careful with how they plant. Carrie and I have had gardens in the past, and we've used this technique called square foot gardening. The idea is you divide your garden plot into 1 foot by 1 foot squares, and in each square you plant a particular crop. Each square can have a certain number of plants in them, 1, 2, 9, or 16, and you poke little holes in each square and plant one seed per hole, cover it just the right depth, water it, and the yield, if the ground is good, is pretty good. You get 90 to 95% germination rate. Now compare that way of planting, seed by seed, hole by hole, with a sower in Jesus' parable. The sower in the parable seems to pay little mind to where the seed is going or how much of it he's throwing. The sower is just sort of willy-nilly throwing the seed wherever it might wind up, hoping that some of it will take root, seemingly unconcerned that some of the seed may be wasted and not produce a crop, that some of it may land in places that is simply not conducive to growth. Some of the seed is eaten by birds. Some dies in the heat of the sun. Other seeds germinate, but when they sprout up, the weeds overtake them and they die. And yet other seed germinates and yields an abundant crop. Now, fortunately for us, Jesus takes the time to explain this parable to his disciples, and therefore to us as well. And so it's easy to discern its meaning. First of all, we understand that we, people, are the ground of various types. This makes sense, of course, because as we've been reminded in our study of Genesis, mankind was formed out of the dust of the ground. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. So it makes sense that humanity is represented by soil in Jesus' parable. Of course, Jesus is the sower, and the seed is the word of God, the word that Christ brings to the people and to us. Some people receive the word of God and believe it, the good soil. Others may believe for a while or not believe at all for the various reasons Jesus describes. This is probably one of the best-known parables in the New Testament, and you've probably heard dozens of sermons on it. So why should I go any further? Some of those sermons, no doubt, have focused on you, the ground. You've probably been encouraged to be like the good soil so that you might bear fruit. You should not be like the path, and must be aware lest Satan rob you of the word of God through your laziness to hearing God's word, through your indifference in digging into the scriptures, through your living however you want. You should not be like the thorny soil. You should watch out for the weeds of this world, the cares of life that distract you from the duties of being a Christian. You should not be like the shallow, rocky soil, and you should dig deeply into God's word, receive his blessings, his supper, lest when trouble comes along, you side with the ways of the world, not living according to the word of God. You should be good ground. All of this is true, of course. We shouldn't fall into laziness with regards to the word of God. We must be vigilant against the threats and the assaults of the devil and this world, lest we ignore God's word and fall away from the faith. But that is not really the point of the story. That's not the full story. You see, Jesus' parable is more descriptive than prescriptive. What I mean is that Jesus is describing how things are in this world more than prescribing particular behaviors in you and in me. Jesus' point is not for Christians to fret or worry about whether or not they are good enough ground. In the parable, the ground is simply the ground. It doesn't change. The ground doesn't say to itself, I need to be better ground. If you and I were to objectively evaluate ourselves from an agricultural standpoint, I think we would be rather horrified as to the quality of our own dirt. Truth be told, we are rocky and thorny and shallow in many ways. You can't make yourself better ground. But brothers and sisters, you are the good soil to which Jesus makes reference in the parable. And that is the purest gospel. The seed of his word has taken root in you, and you bear good fruit. Otherwise, it's unlikely that you would be sitting here. There's a certain air of mystery to how Jesus describes the working of his word, the seed, in the midst of the people of this world. The seed just grows. It's scattered liberally, and it grows where it grows, and it doesn't grow where it doesn't grow. The ground is simply the good ground where the word takes root, creating faith, and faith brings forth the fruits of righteousness, the fruits of good works, the fruits of peace and joy, as we sang in our hymn, in different measures and different people, but the word is the same. How does an earthly seed actually grow? I don't know. No one else really does either. Don't believe me? Check the internet sometime. Google, how does a seed grow? You'll get very detailed descriptions about the process, the differences that happen as a seed turns into a plant, but you're never going to get the how does it actually work part. It's a mystery. You'll know we will have figured out how seeds work when we can make one out of random things in a laboratory sometime and plant it and it will grow. So then why and how has the seed of God's word planted and watered in baptism, fed in the Lord's Supper, how has that seed planted in you grown into faith? Faith which shows forth in good works? How has this come to be? I don't know. And nobody else does either. It's the power of the word of God. The seed sprouts and grows, and we know not how, but that is how it is. You're God's fertile ground, and God's word is powerful seed. Thanks and praise be to God that this is so. And what about the sower, our Lord? As he scattered the seed of his word throughout his ministry, he then tasked his disciples to spread that same seed. And now Christ's church carries on that work, carries on the sowing. And we really don't worry about the ground either. Now, perhaps you may think there is a lot more bad dirt out there in the world than there used to be. No matter. We keep sowing. We keep proclaiming God's word. And God promises us, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it, says Isaiah. And so, the church keeps calling the world to repentance, and it continues to point the penitent to a plant, to a tree, the tree of life. That is the cross where sin was paid for. Because on that tree, the sower became the seed, as St. John describes him. Jesus is the grain of wheat that falls into the earth and dies, and in dying comes to life and bears much fruit. You are that fruit, the fruit of Christ's own death and resurrection. Jesus gave up his life that he might plant the seed of life in you. Jesus poured out of his side water and blood that the church might tend to the soil of believers with baptism and the Lord's Supper. And these finally are the only tools which the church has available to it, the implements of God's word and his sacraments, to sow the seed, to nourish the faith, to provide the promise of life and salvation. So rejoice, good soil, for upon you the seed of God's word has fallen and has taken root. You are those producing the grain of good works, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Wonder not why you are here. Wonder not why you are good soil and others are not here, but rejoice that it is so. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.